Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler, and welcome to TowerNews.com and BlogTalkRadio.com. I'm your host tonight, Angela Butler. Tonight we have with us Craigar Smith, Grandmaster Craigar Smith. How are you this afternoon, Craigar?
I am doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to have you on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
It's my pleasure to be on your show.
Yes, thank you. We're going to go into some questions. When did you first start martial arts, and who was your instructor?
My first instructor was my uncle, Alonzo Starks, my mother's brother, who was in the military. After he passed away, I started under a gentleman by the name of Eugene Davis through a good friend of mine, Vontre Tommy Moss, Jr. From there, we left and went to Steve Sanders, who is now Sabir Muhammad, Sijo Sabir Muhammad. That was back in 1967.
Okay. Who is Steve Sanders, and what part did he play in your career in martial arts?
Steve Sanders, now known as Sabir Muhammad, is one of the greatest martial artists in the world. He was instrumental in making Kenpo, which was American Kenpo, recognized as a fighting art. He was considered the Jackie Robinson of competitive karate. Steve Sanders was a hero to not just the African-American youth, but to Caucasian, Asian, Hispanic alike. He was an incredible fighter, a wonderful human being, a mentor to all of us, and just a icon in the world of martial arts and martial science. His name now is Sabir Muhammad, and he is a Sijo. Sijo means founder. He is one who created, initiated, and pioneered martial art, martial science concepts, which are now recognized worldwide. Steve Sanders, then, Sabir Muhammad, Sijo Sabir Muhammad, today.
Okay. All right. What is Okiwan?
Repeat that again.
What is Okiwan? Okiwan. Okiwan.
I don't know what that is. Maybe Okinawa? Okinawan?
Yes. Naya.
Okinawa. Okinawa is a country in Japan, but Okinawan karate is a, if that's what you mean, Okinawan te.
Yes.
Okinawa te is a martial arts which was created. It actually means Okinawan hand. It is a form of martial arts which was created by the Okinawan people, who are considered the one of my teachers would say, Jerry Smith, Professor Jerry Smith, who is now is also one of the pioneers of the martial art world of full contact karate and kickboxing early on. He would say that the Okinawan people were like the African-American people of the Orient. They were not necessarily treated with the same, given the same treatment as the other individuals or other people. They were treated down. They were not given the respect, and so but they were hard workers. They were farmers, and when martial law in Okinawa was took place, they didn't have any weapons. They had to give up all their weapons. So the instruments or the weapons that they used were the instruments of their trade of farming. You know, the different different instruments they used to the toil of the land, to chop the rice or the you know, like the kama or the sickle or the tongfa. A lot of those weapons that are well known today were actually farmers' tools in Okinawa. So Okinawate became a martial arts, a form of fighting, and it is a traditional martial arts today, which is hard style, was very popular in Japan and Okinawa still today.
Okay. All right. What happened in the film Enter the Dragon?
What happened in the film? Well, Enter the Dragon was one of the premier martial art movies made. It is one of the most beloved movies ever made, starring the late, great Bruce Lee, co-starring John Saxon and Philip Hahn, and introducing Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly being a friend of mine, whom I've known since I was a little guy, and he was a brown belt when I first met him, and he went up for promotion. Actually, he was going up for promotion now and made black belt. But Bruce Lee, of course, did not, he passed away before the movie was put in and was released, and but it was just a wonderful movie. And what's interesting about Enter the Dragon, that there is a scene where Jim Kelly is flashing, goes with the flashback, and he goes into the school, the martial arts school, to say goodbye to his teacher, let him know that he's leaving to go to the island to compete, Hans Island. And that was the then known Steve Sanders, that he, that was his instructor, that was in the scene, which was filmed at our karate school on 103rd and Western, Los Angeles, California. And the scene actually depicted real people, no actors. We were, including myself, I was 17 years old at the time. Remember, this was done in filmed in 1972, so you can kind of add up, do your math to find out how old I am today.
Okay.
But just a wonderful. Yeah, thank you. But that actually is the only scene in the movie Enter the Dragon where that was real. You know, everything else was, okay, you know, fabricated and scripted and you know, sets put together. And this was a real live martial arts school with real live students of the martial arts, students of Steve Sanders, Sabir Muhammad, students of Jerry Smith, students of Guru Cliff Stewart, students of Donnie Williams. And I was a black belt at that time, 17 years old. And it was just a wonderful time for us, a great movie. But unfortunately, they never even gave us credit at the end of the movie. They didn't give Steve Sanders or anyone that was in the scene, Sabir Muhammad, or even the Black Karate Federation, the school, which was the organization that housed the school, no credit at the end of the movie, and that's one of the disappointments still, because Enter the Dragon now is into its 40th year anniversary, 41 years, and almost 40 years, and they still have not made that correction, and I think it was a terrible correction. But Enter the Dragon still, one of the greatest movies, martial art movies ever made. I have no complaints about that wonderful, wonderful time, the men who put it together, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Enter the Dragon. When did you start the original Warrior Association? What is the original Warrior Association?
The original Warrior Association recognizes the legends, pioneers, and heroes of the community. I started in 1993 after a meeting with the Black Karate Federation, which was a pioneering organization founded in 1969. I am a founding member, and the Black Karate Federation as was founded by Jerry Smith, Cliff Stewart, Ron Chappelle, Sabir Muhammad, Willie Short, Brian Bray, Curtis Pulliam, you know, Carl Armelin, Donnie Williams. These men were the original founders. Again, were Jerry Smith, Curtis Pulliam. Jerry Smith, Cliff Stewart, and Ron Chappelle, and Steve Sanders was the first president. And then, of course, Sabir Muhammad was the first president because he was the hero. He was the star, and he needed a figurehead and to make things happen. It was really a pioneering one, which actually it protected the
Go ahead.
It protected the minorities, gave them a fair shake in the tournament world because, again, you know, it was a lot of politics, very prejudicial in the 50s and the 60s and 70s and tournament competition. So the Black Karate Federation was founded to make a more equitable representation for tournament competitors. Now, the original Warrior Association, again, we recognize those men and women who were the pioneers. From that time, you know, they're the ones who, you know, who today are, say, the baby boomers. You know, in the they're in the 50s and the 60s, and the newer generation in the martial arts may not know who these people are, these men and women are. So we don't want them to fall off or to be unrecognized because of the fact that they're maybe doing something else. But, you know, we have to always remember that we didn't teach ourselves. We have to always remember that and never forget that there was someone who came before us. So we recognize and honor those men and women for their positive thoughts, positive deeds, and positive actions. And that is what the Original Warrior Association represents.
All right. What generation black belt are you?
I am first generation under Sabir Muhammad. I am second generation under Edmund Kealoha Parker Sr. He is the father of American Kenpo karate. And Kenpo meaning the law of the fist, and karate meaning empty hand. Edmund Parker, Mr. Parker, was the came over from to the continent of the United States, where it would be from Hawaii, settled down in Salt Lake City, Utah, and eventually went to Pasadena, California, and opened his first school, 1955. And he was actually also instrumental in discovering Bruce Lee at his world-famous International Karate Championships held in Long Beach, California, Long Beach Arena. And so my teacher, Sabir Mohammed, was a student under Mr. Parker, and as well as his students, two of his students, who is Senior Grandmaster Chuck Sullivan and Senior Grandmaster Guru Dan Inosanto, who eventually left Mr. Parker and became a disciple, or the one who was the right-hand man of Bruce Lee and taught Bruce Lee a lot of concepts, weaponry, nunchak, eskrima, kali, which is a Filipino art. And I'm second generation under Edmund Kealoha Parker Sr., and I am first generation under Sijo Sabir Mohammed.
Okay. You've been in martial arts a very long time. I feel like you're more than qualified to tell the listeners about the history, heritage, and culture of African-American martial arts and the part they played in martial arts. You told quite a bit as it is, but could you tell more?
Yes. There are, you know, again, you know, a lot of people tend to think that you know, the martial arts or karate or kung fu originated from, you know, a certain ethnic background, you know, Asian background in particular. Kung fu, the Chinese, karate, the Japanese, or the Korean people. But if you go back into the history of the world, actually, the world is a big world, and you cannot overlook the other countries that may have had a fighting art, you know, in Africa or Egypt, you know, in particular. So Brazil, you know, have the capoeira, you know, and Angolan arts, you know, in Africa, and the Nubian warriors, Nubian wrestlers in Africa, and you have the different fighting arts in Egypt, and even when you go into the do the research and the studies on the ancient writings, hieroglyphic writings and different artwork that was laid down, you find that martial arts, which means anything to do with fighting or war, art, being, you know, the creative mind, that everyone in every country had, you know, created something to defend themselves, you know, in a form of defense, not just a form of defense, but also, you know, dancing. You know, you can create a dance and incorporate fighting movements, techniques, mechanics. And so the martial arts, you know, again, is not just relegated to, you know, one people.
Okay.
The African American in particular are extremely creative people. You know, we can take any art that was given to us by another people and make it our own, and take it and make it even, you know, more beautiful, more creative, more flowing, more powerful. And So the African American, in particular, in different states, different countries, you know, are pioneers, you know, and leaders in concept that they're not getting the fair shake for. For instance, in the different magazines that were out in the past in the 60s, Black Belt Magazine, Karate Illustrated, then you had Inside Kung Fu, and now you have a lot of the other magazines. You very seldom see an African American on the cover of these magazines, unless he's a celebrity or a champion, you know, that especially in the UFC. Now they have a lot of UFC and MMA, which is mixed martial arts, and mixed martial arts is, I mean, it's just a, you know, different arts that are mixed together. And that is, you know, people call it mixed martial arts, but we were studying 5-6 different arts at the same time back then. We didn't call it mixed martial arts. We just studied Shotokan. We studied Taekwondo. We studied Hapkido. We studied Judo. We studied different Kung Fu systems, Korean Judo, and Jiu-Jitsu even then. But we didn't. And Kenpo, of course. Okinawate. Shonryu, Isshinryu. We didn't call it mixed martial arts. We just were happy to learn everything that we could. And my teachers were some of the, you know, greatest fighters and warriors that the world has ever known to me, and heroes, mentors, innovators, inspirational figures that changed the face of the martial arts and the martial science. And Bruce Lee, matter of fact, had wrote that Sejo Steve Muhammad, at the time Steve Sanders, I have to keep saying that because a lot of people, when you read back, there's a lot of, you know, you'll see that in print, Steve Sanders. But Sejo Sabir Muhammad was considered by Bruce Lee to have the fastest hands alive. He studied Sabir Muhammad. He studied Muhammad Ali. He studied Jersey Joe Walcott. He studied Joe Louis. And these were fighters and men who were black. And this great man, Bruce Lee, to be the great man that he was, had to study other great men. Mr. Parker used to say, "Don't be like the man at the bottom of the well, who when looking up at the sky, thinks that portion of the sky he sees is all there really is to heaven." So if you think that you know it all, you may not, and you don't know somebody else's thing, how are you going to defend against it? If you don't know what an axe kick looks like, or if you don't know what a spinning back kick looks like, or a rear naked choke looks like,
okay,
or how can you defend against it? So the African Americans, as far as the history and the heritage and culture, is like, we don't, you know, we're listening to music that we helped invent jazz and the blues and things like that, but we had our own, there's another type of music that we had, another type of rhythm that we had, our culture, our language was taken from it, so we had to create something, you know, unique. For instance, my system, you know, even though I studied 8 different systems and hold a black belt in 8 different systems, I created my own system, which is called Kung Lap Sao, the law of the flowing grabbing hand. We have to take from everything that we've learned and make it our own and make it unique, because that is our heritage, to be unique. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, sir. What does this law do for martial arts? What does it do? I mean, what kind of technique is this?
My system?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's not a technique. A technique is a movement that, I mean, if you're dealing with someone throwing a right punch or a front kick or something, then you're using a technique to counter that. You know, it could be a 1-2-3 technique, or it could be a one initial movement. It could be an indirect angular attack. It could be a direct attack. It could be a defensive movement. That's a technique. Now, a system or a style Kumlap Sao. Okay, Kum means flowing, Lap grabbing, and Sao hand. So when I was a fighter, I used to be really little. I started off being little, and I fought as a lightweight, and yet I used to have to fight heavyweights for grand champion. So I'm a 21-time grand champion. So let's say that I had to fight heavyweight winner at the end of the day, at the end of the tournament, in order to win the grand championship title. To become grand champion, you had to beat everybody. And because I was little, at that time, they could grab and they could, to get the edge. And my philosophy, I had to work on different ways of getting out of the different moves different grabs that my opponent tried to place me in. But I have this philosophy, Angela, that if a big man grabs me, he may do harm to me. But if I grab him, I will do harm to him. You say, if he grabs me, he may do harm to me. But if I grab him, I will do harm to him. And that said, really, is that if you are, another philosophy says if you are right, you will win 1,000 times, but when you're wrong, you can never win. So we have to try to walk upright, straight, on the straight path, and do the right thing, and everything will work its way out, by God's blessings.
I agree. With that, about God's blessing. In 2003, Mayor Oscar Goodman, I believe he's the mayor of the city of Las Vegas, did he not name a day for you?
Yes, in 2003, the then mayor, Oscar Goodman, and the city of Las Vegas, state of Nevada, gave a day, had a day in my honor, Grandmaster Cricket Smith Day. And it was actually recognizing the contribution that was actually a surprise to me, but it recognized the contribution that I was given, that I was doing for the city of Las Vegas that particular day, which was an event that I did called I facilitated, sponsored, and created in Los Angeles first, called the Challenge of the Martial Art Masters, which challenged the martial art masters who had schools to come out of those schools and come into the west side where the black community was and give a free show of their system. Like you said, everybody thinks their system is better than the other. Like everyone thinks their religion is better than the other, and Bruce Lee hated system.
Okay.
He felt that the system divided people. He felt that they were like religions, and then they divided people, And so that's why he never wanted to call his create anything and call it and give it a title, And but what I wanted to do was showcase, the different styles and systems and the instructors around the Las Vegas community to come in. And just do a performance, and we gave out Grand Champion Cup, most spectacular performance and most outstanding performance, as well as recognize those men and women for coming out, you know, and giving back, as it were. So that was, but at the same time, I was also recognized by, at that affair, by the mayor of Los Angeles. Even though I was in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, the mayor sent a representative to Las Vegas to not be undone, because, of course, I'm a product of Los Angeles, but I've done a lot of work in Las Vegas too. But they came, they brought a certificate for me as well, for the challenge of the martial art masters, because it's really not about the person. It's about, you know, the things that are going on. And so when I look at the day that was given to me, I wouldn't have never received that day if it wasn't for those who came before me, Sabir Muhammad, Emmett Kiloha Parker, you know, Ted Taylor, who's a blues singer and one of my mentors, and Jerry Smith, you know, and Cliff Stewart. All these men who were there before me inspired me to be able to do the things that I do today. So, okay. You know, that day was actually an honor for them as well. And I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, Grandmaster Craigo Smith, I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. It's been good interviewing you. You have certainly enlightened the listeners about martial arts and the role that Black Americans played and African Americans played in the martial arts history. And I thank you very much for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
I thank you, too. And I'd like to leave the listeners with, remember to be true to yourself and you will be true to others. Be right with the way and you'll never be wrong. Peace and blessings.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, listeners, that was Grandmaster Craig R. Smith. Next we have with us Orion Hudson. Orion Hudson has been on CNN, and he also has started Be Somebody. And good afternoon, Orion Hudson.
Hey, how are you doing? My name is Orion C. Hudson, and the C is for checkmate. Just want to say hello to everyone, and I'm living my dream.
Oh, all right. Nothing wrong with that, living your dream. So you are you a national or world chess champ? Which is it? Or is it both?
Well, I'm just a regular guy that's teaching young people how to solve problems, and I've won a couple speed competitions at the World Open in Philadelphia. But my program is less about chess. It's more about making the right moves in the game of life. My message is think it out, don't shoot it out. So if I can teach people how to solve problems and think it out instead of shoot it out, then I'm in the game, and that's what it's all about.
Okay. So you enjoy chess, and you also have won tournaments and things like that. I think that is wonderful. Why did you start Be Somebody? Is that
well,
the name of your organization?
My organization is called Be Someone. And
Be Someone, thank you for correcting me.
I started Be Someone because seven people were shot in a robbery in Queens, New York for $2,000. And so I'm on a mission to teach people to think it out instead of shoot it out. Heads up, pants up, grades up.
Okay. What is Be Someone? Exactly what is it?
Be Someone is a youth development program that's focused on helping parents, students, and teachers think strategically about our future and trying to empower our young people to be the champion that they were born to be. We use the game of chess to teach them how to solve problems, how to think things through. Is this true? Is this honest? Is this the best move I could make? So it's all about just making smart moves in life, thinking before you move, and never give up.
Okay. How does chess help the youth? I mean, I know you just said never give up, but how does it help them through day-to-day life?
Chess is a live game. It teaches you how to stay in the present, deal with what's in front of you, and don't focus on the past. the past is gone. So chess is an excellent tool to teach children by actual experience how to think on their feet and solve problems, how to deal only what's in front of you, and how to be thankful for what you have and to use what you have where you are. See, in chess, you have everything you need to win the game. So it's not about blame. It's about aim. We have to teach children that they are responsible for their own success. Is it to be? It's got to be me. No one's coming to the rescue.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Our magic teaches discipline, too, to a certain extent.
Yes, it teaches discipline, it teaches focus, it teaches concentration. You got to have discipline because you can't do the first thing that pops in your head. Your first assumption may be wrong. So you got to think things through. You got to say, okay, is this true? Is this honest? Is this the best move I can make? You got to learn how to delay gratification. It takes,
right.
You know, things take time to manifest. You got to wait until the right moment. The right move is not the right move unless you make it at the right time.
Okay, I understand. Now I understand better the game of chess. I've never played chess before. I played.
Well, if you go to my website, besomeone.org, and put your email in, it'll send you a free video on how to play chess.
Okay. All right.
Go to besomeone.org, put your email in, and it will send you a free video on how to play chess.
Do you work with the youth? I would do that. Do you work with the youth after they're in trouble or before? Or is this just
well, I try to get them both. You know, sometimes I get them after they get in trouble, but that's too bad. But I try to get them before because I believe prevention is better than detention. If we can teach children ahead of time how to think things through, then we can save the world a lot of money. And so I'm on the prevention side where I'm teaching people how to be a champion, how to stay away from the pitfalls in life, be a productive citizen, and get a good education.
Okay. How long has your program been in existence?
We're doing our 10th annual Be Someone Day this weekend, April 4th. But I've actually been doing this for about 12 years. But officially, we're doing our official 10th annual Be Someone Day this coming Saturday from 1 to 4 at our training center in Stone Mountain. And it's free and open to the public. And I would like for people that's listening, as well as you, to pass it on and let people know that this coming Saturday from 1 to 4, May 5th, you can get free food, free admission, and free fun and game and prizes, and you can come be a part of the solution.
Okay. All right. Where at?
You faded out. Try again.
Where at? Where can they be a part of the solution and for the free fun and games? I mean,
well, it's in Stone Mountain. It's at 949 Stevenson Road in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And besomeone.org is our website. And we're going to bring in a lot of professional people. We're going to bring in people like Little Jimmy. He's a cartoon character. He's like the Fat Albert. And he's a new Fat Albert. And he can dance, sing, and he does an anti-bullying campaign. We're bringing in Arthur Reed. He's a master recording artist. We're bringing in Joe Turner. He's a musician who's doing great things. And we're just trying to empower children to be all God created them to be. Heads up, pants up, grades up. And the big one, never give up.
Okay. All right. Were you a former policeman?
Yes, ma'am. I'm a former state trooper who now is the director of besomeone.org. And now my focus is mostly on the prevention side, where I believe prevention is better than detention.
All right. We're going to go to break, Orion, and we're going to come back to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Okay, listeners, I see that you called in. Quite a few of you have called in. I thank you for calling the Show Talk with Angela Butler. Don't hang up. We're going to take a small break, and we're going to come back.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere. Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
All right, listeners, we have with us tonight Orion Hudson. Orion Hudson is over Be Someone that caters to the youth, an organization that caters to the youth and helps teach the youth discipline, and it caters not just to troubled youth but to youth, period. I'd also like to say, let's not forget Conti Contino, the inventor of More Time to Sleep. That's www.moretimetosleep.com. www.mtts.com. Also, let's not forget the CEO of Butterfly Cosmetics, April Smith Holt. April Smith Holt is the CEO once again of Butterfly Cosmetics. She can be you can place orders for Butterfly Cosmetics at www.butterflycosmetics.com. Let's not forget Maurice and Abby Merriweather. They can be found on Facebook. They're the Visalis couple. They sell Visalis. Let's not forget Demetri Stewart of Atlanta Edition .com. That's www.AtlantaEdition.com magazine. She's also coming out with a cable show, so let's not forget to cater to her and her online magazine and to advertise with her. All right, listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We have with us Orion Hudson. Orion.
Yeah, Orin Hudson is my name. Orin C. Hudson, I might add. And the C for
Orin
checkmate.
Orin C. Hudson. Okay. Thank you for correcting this. Orin C. Hudson.
And
okay.
The C is for checkmate. What's the C for?
Checkmate.
That's what I'm talking about.
The C is for checkmate. Orin Checkmate Hudson. All right.
Yes,
is your organization nonprofit or for profit?
Be Someone is a nonprofit 501c organization that survives based on the help we get from people like listening and people that's in the community. We all about empowering young people, using the game of chess to teach them how to be the champion that God created them to be.
Yes, yes, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think you're doing a great thing. I think you're doing a great thing for the youth, and I hope you continue to do those things. What are your goals for Be Someone?
BeSomeone.org is to get more people to join our efforts in changing the world one move at a time. So if you're listening, we love for you to support the work that we're doing to keep our vision alive. You can go to BeSomeone.org and put your email in and get a free video. And we also sell on a book called One Move at a Time. So our goal is to reach 1 million young people. We've reached about 25,000 so far. We're a long ways away. But with your help, we can help more people and we can change the world one move at a time. And you can be a part of changing the world one move at a time.
Okay. Is this a national organization or is it just in the state of Georgia?
We're based in Atlanta, which is Stone Mountain, but we do stuff all over. Like I'm doing something in Kentucky coming up, and I just did something in Ohio. I just did something in Huntsville, Alabama. So we travel around, have a mobile program where I bounce in and out. In order for me to do my million people, I'm going to have to go from city to city. So we do stuff all over, but I'm based in Stone Mountain. The BeSomeone.org is here for you. We're a phone call away. I'm a motivational speaker and chess champion that uses chess as analogies to show people how to think strategically about their futures.
Okay. What are your goals for BeSomeone.org?
Well, to teach 1 million young people how to be a champion and using analogies of chess, and to grow Be Someone nationwide. And so with your help, we can do just that by sharing our information to other people, because our goal is to get that million, teach 1 million young people.
Okay. Do you accept donations?
Yes, ma'am. BeSomeone.org. We have we sell American Express, MasterCard, Visa, you name it. We take personal checks. You can go to BeSomeone.org. All the details are on there. We love people to get behind what we're doing because I know what we're doing works, and I know what we're doing with teaching children how to solve problems. And if we want to be successful, we got to teach children how to think for themselves.
Okay, I imagine as a former police officer, you saw a lot of things that you didn't like to see. So was this your primary motivation for starting BeSomeone.org?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Seven people were shot in Queens, New York for $2,000, and I said to myself, evil prevails when good people do nothing. So I'm on a mission now to teach young people to think it out instead of shoot it out. But I don't have a lot of time because I'm in a meeting. I'm in between meetings, and I want to step out and do
okay.
this call. But I love you guys. Right. My website is besomeone.org. I love to know what I can do to help anybody. Please feel free to reach out to me. Any closing question you want to ask me, I'll be happy to answer.
What advice do you have for the youth?
My advice to the youth is just one thing here, and that is be thankful for the good, the bad, and the ugly because it's all good. And I leave you with this quote. Being the best is a major quest. Don't get upset if you fail your first test. Try again and learn from within. Set your goals high and believe that you can. Stay focused and on track. Associate with positive people and don't look back. Believe in yourself and think before you act. Keep a positive attitude and get all the facts. Be someone. Anything else you want me to answer?
No, thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Angela.
All right, you're welcome. Okay. All right, listeners, that was Orion Checkmate Hudson. He's the founder of Be Someone, and he has to go now, but we're going to listen to some music, and we're going to come back.
Yeah, fortitude, survive of all tribulations. You know what it is? It's my game, survivor. Come on.
Yeah. I'm a survivor. I look everywhere. All I see is fire. Shouting up louder. All I'm desire. Oh, I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor. I look everywhere. All I see is fire. Shouting up louder. All I'm desire. Oh, I'm a survivor.
I bring this to you just as new. 1, 2, 3, buckle up my shoe. You can listen to the news. The words that I utter, I testimonies grew better times in the past. I had my best through the walls, praises to God. I break the four walls, I've broken the back of the terrible beast. Now I be like this. My enemies are on your knees. Step to the ground like glue. Listen to the fumes. My lyrics to your ears just sound like the morning dew. I don't just read only Genesis, but also read Matthew. I've tough lots of forces. I can still true. Now I got money like the rain dropping on me like showers. I struggle stay alive. Don't dive in the pool of death. Cause if I can survive, so you can. Believe in yourself.
I'm a survivor. I look everywhere. All I see is fire. Shouting up louder. All I'm desire. Oh, I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor. I look everywhere. All I see is fire. Shouting up louder. All I'm desire. Oh, I'm a survivor.
Back, histories of the past. I cannot voice my stories into lyrics. Listen to me. The battle is over. Let the burden be put off my shoulder. I'm strange today. So please don't mind the way I behave. Don't mind my manners, for my heart is now quite sad and gray. You may call up my name
And I cast your memories back to yesterday. I was waiting, contemplating, debating, yearning for liberty. Here I am today. Yeah, what more can I say? I spring to agitation, I yearn to addiction. Regardless, when my heart took me back to the class of corridor. At the end, I crossed the bridge, sharing my experience way back when I was in gorgeous. Before now, entangled, I survived. I know bleacher, I'm a leader, you know what it is, yeah, come on.
I'm a survivor, I look everywhere, all I see is fire, shouting up louder, all I'm a fire, oh Lord. I'm a survivor, hey. I'm a survivor, I look everywhere, all I see is fire, shouting up louder, all I'm a fire, oh Lord. I'm a survivor.
Hello, caller. Do you have a question? I guess not. All right, we'll go back into some more music.
Yeah, yeah. Quick, it's a love song. It's a love song. Uh huh. It's a love song. It's a love song. Yeah, it's a love song. It's a love song. Come on. Come on.
All I wanna do is spend my life.
Della Rosa, hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Hi, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. Vanessa, when did you decide to model and act professionally?
I'm sorry?
When did you decide to model and act professionally? At what point did you decide to model and act professionally?
Well, when I was 13, I was living in Texas, and they had fashion shows all the time, so I got interested in it. So I started off as a young model, and I competed in Miss Teen San Antonio pageant, and then I took a classes with John Casablanca, and I got signed with them. But it wasn't until, and I modeled with them for about 3 years, and it wasn't until 2007 when I moved back to Atlanta, I got into full-figured modeling when it was just really pumping up at the time. I've always been an admirer of modeling.
Oh, okay. So you are a plus-size model, full-figure modeling.
Yes, I am. I've been doing that since 2007, since I moved back to Atlanta.
Have you ever been stereotyped because of this? I just have to ask you. Have you ever been stereotyped because of being a plus-size model?
All the time. I recently did a fashion show not too long ago, and, of course, I was the only plus-size model. I was modeling for Lane Bryant at an outlet fashion store, and, of course, all the other girls were standard models. And, you know, you just have to have tough skin, and sometimes the full-figured women can walk a little bit better than the skinnier girls. You know, we always get condemned because we're bigger women, but as long as you're comfortable in your own skin, you kind of just go with the punches and you learn to live with it, because not everybody, you're not going to please everybody.
No, you're not. I'm plus size also.
Good girl.
it's good to see you doing your thing. It's real good.
Yeah, you know, and when you get in this industry, it's so hard because it's so competitive, and, you know, America is always trying to say that, you know, being a plus size model isn't modeling, or we're not true models, or we can't model at a professional level. And some might not be on every magazine because they're always airbrushing it to be smaller, or, you know, girls, models, but that's just not, we're women, we're regular people. That's not the average size woman. And I like doing fashion shows and sitting with designers who make real clothes for real women.
What films have you acted in? Did you say you design clothes also? I just caught the tail end of that.
Oh, no, I said I like fitting into designers, different clothing that they have.
Oh, okay.
All right. No, I'm not a designer.
Okay. What films have you acted in?
The major one that I was in was Madea Goes to Jail with Tyler Perry. I played a prostitute, and I was a principal. I had a few lines, and I spoke with on the street with Viola Davis. So that was, and then I went to jail myself. So that was kind of my big role coming out. Even though I only had a few lines, it was a blessing to even be pictured in the movie. And then I did I Can Do Bad All by Myself, where I was an extra in that, and Teen Wolf on MTV, House of Pain, some other extra stuff. But I went back to school to get my theater degree, so I like doing theater as well.
What was it like?
I'm just trying to really get back into the movie scene and, you know, trying to focus on either A or B or whichever comes first.
Okay. What was it like working for Mr. Tyler Perry?
Oh, it was awesome. He makes you feel real comfortable. He's very friendly. I mean, he's very business-oriented. You know, he's all about work. He's got a great work ethic. But as well, he makes you feel comfortable on the set. He was teasing me, because he would call me Jordan Sparks. And he's real personal with you. He'll remember even, you know, meaning that I was an extra. I was on set, first of all, for the first 2 weeks just as an extra, as an inmate. And, you know, I had thug life and I had cornrows in my hair. And for the first couple of weeks, I was just an inmate who went to jail. And then, you know, it was kind of favor, I would believe. I call it. Because when I got on there, and they called me back to play a prostitute, they remembered who I was, and they called me Thug Life. And then, you know, it was just my presence. He remembers who I was. And then when I did the next film, I Could Do Bad on Myself, he called me Jordan Sparks, and he remembered my lines that I said in Madea Goes to Jail. So it was kind of personal that he would remember who I was.
Oh, okay. All right. That sounds wonderful. It sounds like your career is really headed in the right direction, and like you're really getting ready to really take off. Well, you already have. You're definitely a professional. Well, I can say that much. So
it's all about personal drive and endurance. You know, like I said, I'm a single mother, and, you know, things haven't always been. I suffered with cervical cancer, and I couldn't walk for 3 months from a epidural that went bad and left me. I couldn't walk for 3 months, and it's just been a roller coaster ride. But it's just all about, you know, endurance and being comfortable in your own skin and just having faith. And God has brought me a whole way.
So you said that you had cervical cancer?
Yes, I had.
Oh, okay.
I went in and had a pap smear that was abnormal, and they caught it, and I ended up having just a hysterectomy, and, you know, I'll never have kids again. But I'm blessed with three beautiful young ladies, so.
But you've been cured. You're pretty much cured.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's good news. That is wonderful news. I'm sure my listeners are glad to hear that because there's a string of callers. Okay.
Oh, and there's nothing easy about having. I mean, my hat goes off to patients who have to deal with chemotherapy, and you know, it's a major breast cancer. You know, I'm an advocate for all of that. It's just something that you go through that you have to be strong with tough skin to go through. And your family support as well, friends. But you just can't ever give up.
Okay. How long have you worked in the film and modeling profession? I know you said you were 13 when you first started, but mm-hmm. professionally, when you really, you said 2007, so how long, it's just a total career, how long
or
have you worked in the modeling film profession?
Well, I would say majorly for the last 5 years. 6 years, again, because full-figure modeling just kind of took off within the last 2 years, and I just kind of really enjoyed it. And I haven't really put myself out there as much as I've done the last year. I would say I've done more in the last year than I've ever done before. I had to get back into it. I was doing fashion shows all the time and doing photo shoots for people, and I was on Good Day Atlanta, and I was with Clinton Kelly. I was modeling a lot with Macy's for their fashion shows, and I was doing the, you know, the plus sizes, but, you know, I mean, it's nothing that happened overnight. It just takes a lot, and everybody, you know, can't just be into it.
All right. What event, fashion show did you participate in that President Barack Obama was in attendance?
Oh, the salute to Barack Obama. He wasn't in attendance. It was a fashion show that we did in honor of him a few years ago. And who I met was Dr. Cornel West. It was a salute to Barack Obama years ago. And I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Cornel West, and that was very exciting because I love him. He's such a great motivator, a great speaker.
Yes,
and I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with him and meet him and, you know, get a photograph. So that was an exciting point.
Okay. What was it like working with Kim Coles?
Oh, that was so much fun. She said, I was on set and she said, we could have so been BFFs in high school. She has the spunky personality as like I do. And so we did click real well. She's funny. She's outgoing. She, like I said, and when she told me, she was like, oh, my God, you're just like me. We could, you know, we could have been best friends in high school. It was just, she's an amazing woman.
Oh, okay. All right. We talked about some things about stereotypes and things like that of being a model, an actress. But do you ever have a problem being taken seriously?
Well, definitely. You know, I come in, if I go in for a part or to a fashion show and I'm looked at a certain way, and you, like I said, it has to be, the confidence has to come within. Sometimes we look like we don't belong there. I was speaking with a girl yesterday who did a fashion show, and they actually, some of the thinner models were kind of real evil to the full-figured women. And they push the racks out. I mean, it can get real nasty sometimes with the different type of models. You know, I have models of all types of friends that are, you know, skinny models that I get along with. But in the industry, if you don't know them and they look at you like, oh, she can't walk. But in the end, it's like the full-figure women can walk. We show the clothing. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what a designer wants you to do, be able to display their clothing very well. And that's what we came to do. And we're going to walk and show you our stuff at the same time.
Okay. Like I was saying, I'm also plus-sized, and I have diabetes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
And at one time, yeah, me too. I've been one since 1998. One time I was 300-plus pounds, now I've lost over 115, 125 pounds.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Well, I've had to wait off for a few years, for about four or five years now. I had to lose the weight. And so I understand I'm still plus size. I'm like a 16,
right.
somewhere like a 16. So I understand what it's like being plus size because I was in acting profile and I got passed over for parts for different reasons because of my size and everything. Unfortunately, I'm not very tall. I'm barely 5'7", so.
Okay.
You know.
That's how the industry can be. They can be ruthless, and you know, it seems like the acting world is seen to be hiring just more of the thinner actresses, and we're full plus size models and coming in to be an actress, and we're losing weight. I was once a size 22. I've also been a size 7'9". I've been on both spectrums, but I've come to be comfortable with where I'm at in life. You know, I was always put down, being called fat, ugly, you know, and it's a hurtful feeling. And unless you know that you're beautiful, no matter what size you are, either you can make or break your own self, because we take criticism a lot, as bigger women. Some do and some don't. But in the end, it does hurt. I might have some jiggles here, but I'm still a beautiful person on the inside. And I do that, and no matter what size I am, like when I was at 22, I was still fine.
Go ahead for yourself. That's all right.
But
that's
it's all about being healthy
attitude,
as well. You know, you want
to... Yes, healthy. Now, that's something I can't really say because I'm a diabetic, but I'm not on shots anymore. But go ahead and talk about health.
I mean, health is a major factor. You know, I'm an athlete. Well, I grew up as an athlete. I would play basketball all my life, and I ran track. So sports was always in me, but I've always been a thicker woman because of my muscles on my legs, and I have a wide, broad shoulders from lifting weights. So I've always tried to be healthy as much as possible. And, you know, when I got sick and I couldn't, you know, and I, like I said, when I was in the hospital, I gained weight and, you know, it just, my blood pressure, I couldn't sleep, I had anxiety, you know, it's just everything that could go wrong went wrong. And you just have to have a healthy lifestyle, healthy diet and exercise, and, you know, and I try to get, you know, back on the treadmill and walk, and I was coaching basketball as well. So I just want to be healthy and active with my kids as much as possible and not be tired all the time. And that was something I ran into a long time. I was very, very tired and depressed, and it can pull you down.
Okay. What is the Pueblo Model Contest that you want? I understand about the health thing. I understand about being tired and things like that. But let's talk about something a little bit more positive. What is the Pueblo Model Contest that you won?
Oh, I won
because
the,
you obviously are professional, and you obviously have what it takes to make it the right look and everything. So what is the cover model contest?
It was the face of Full Figured Fashion Week 2012, and for the last 4 years, Ms. Gwen DeVoe has – it's a Full Figured Fashion Week in New York, and just like regular, you know, Fashion Week for the smaller size models, it's Full Figure Fashion Week for plus-size models with the designers, and we have events, and we have an all-white party, and we have a panel of discussions, and it's just a fun-filled 4 days of events for full-figure women, and women come across all over the U.S. to come, and it was a contest that I entered in for the face of Full Figure Fashion Week, and I submitted my headshot, and a quick video of why I felt like I should be the face of Full Figure Fashion Week. And 74 women competed, and I was blessed to win. And honestly, I had no idea that I would even win. And for 4 years, I've always wanted to compete in it, but I didn't have the self-confidence. I always say, you know, when the timing's right, you know, God will put you where you need to be. And, every year I just put it off, and I say, you know what, God, this is my time. This is my year. I just want to be an advocate for women who have ever been through anything in life to just motivate women to keep going, you know, with sickness or health, you know, just no matter what, go after your dreams, because it's not going to come to you. And I was blessed to win, so when I won, I kind of pulled over and just started crying and thanking God, because no shape, form did I expect to win. There was some beautiful women that competed.
Do you have any advice for plus-size women who have perhaps have younger women, not necessarily younger women, but the youth, the teenagers, so to speak, the teenagers? I don't know your age or anything. You look very young by your photos and everything. Okay, well, I'm older than you. I'm not going to say my age. But do you have any advice for plus-size women or bigger women who suffer from low self-esteem, especially the youth, the teenagers, the young women?
Well, I have a teenage daughter who's 16, and she's a plus-size. Her and I sometimes wear the same jeans, or I'm a little bit bigger than her. But, it's just about self-confidence and starting doing the things that you enjoy doing. Like some of the older models that I know that do fashion shows, they do it as a hobby, as just to go out and feel beautiful, come and get your makeup done, you're wearing nice clothes. And, you know, we all turn into divas when we get on that runway. So I would hope that young women can, you know, feel confident within themselves and do the right things and link up with certain people that can motivate you until you get that own self-motivation like I was. You know, sometimes it helps to have people in your corner to help support you and, you know, start moving and getting out there. You know, I tell my daughter, she don't care what she wears. She's like, you know, she doesn't let things bother her, and no matter what size she is. Like when I was her age, I was a size 5'7", and, you know, she was 15, and you couldn't tell her nothing, you know. And I like talking to the girls.
Confident.
Because, and she tells me, so I'm like, Mom, she was my main supporter. Mom, you're going to do it. You're going to get it. And it feels great that I can raise young girls to be, you know, satisfied and happy and feel beautiful and confident. But it's not easy, you know, because I went through, when I was a kid, I went through a lot of abusive, you know, I watched abusive relationships. And so I had to find that confidence within myself. And, you know, I prayed a lot. You know, I am a Christian woman, so that my faith has brought me a whole lot, a long way.
Okay, all right. Confidence is the key. Just because you're plus size doesn't mean you're ugly or that you're fat. It just means that God has endowed you with more to love, and I say more to hold. So.
More, hold on.
That's what I'm saying to the young people. I'm saying to young women that just because you are plus size does not mean that you're ugly. I'm saying this again. As you can see, this lady here, if you take a look at the blog talk, site on Show Talk to Angel Book, you'll see she's gorgeous. I'm just going to say it. Trying to be funny or anything, but I'm just going to say you're very gorgeous, and so you shouldn't let put downs get you because someone is smaller than you, because really and truly, and I think you'll agree with me, it's what's on the inside that really counts.
Yeah, when you're beautiful on the inside and exudes,
you can be plus size and pretty, but what's on the inside will come out and radiate and make you even gorgeous and beautiful. You can be skinny and be mean
and have an ugly attitude.
Have an ugly attitude. It just messes up your whole look. So what I'm saying is, with this on the inside is what counts.
That's what I tell my girls.
And how you feel about yourself is what counts. So young women, this lady is a wonderful example. Miss Vanessa, say your name again.
Vanessa Della Rosa.
Della Rosa is a wonderful example of what confidence and strength is. I mean, you went through, you're a cancer survivor. So,
My whole testimony is that I just want women to just keep moving forward. You know, like I said, I lost my job at a corporation, and I had a smile on my face. And they're like, I know that one door closes, God is already preparing a new door. You just have to go through it, and you got to keep praying until something happens. And, you know, have your own self-confidence within yourselves and never give up. Never give up, whether it's a book, going back to school, you know, starting a business of your own. You have to find that passion that's inside of you, and then just go for it. And don't let anyone ever put you down, because you're going to get more no's than you do yeses. But that's where your self-confidence comes in.
Okay. All right. Do you support any organizations? Do you speak at any schools or anything like that?
No, actually, I'm trying to be an advocate for young women in the women's shelter battered, and also in the young juvenile courts, because I feel like we can hit our young ones, and that's what I'm working on currently, trying to be an advocate for the women in our juvenile systems, that they can make it, even though, because everybody makes mistakes. I've made mistakes. No one's perfect, but you just have to keep going. And I, unfortunately, I was one, when I was 13, I tried to commit suicide because of so many things I was going through. So I would just like to help younger women and younger girls, women as well, just to motivate them. Like, anybody can make it. You just have to have a dream and just keep going. You know, no dream is ever too big to try to make it.
And the only time I believe, and I believe in this saying, the only time you fail is when you give up.
And when you don't try, yeah. That's the honest truth.
Yeah, but we don't try. That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's been good talking to you, Vanessa.
It's been a pleasure talking to you as well, Angela.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I look forward to having you back again, and thank you.
Anytime. I hope all the callers got some good motivation and just keep it moving. Don't stop.
All right, okay.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, listeners, we've had with us tonight Vanessa, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, Vanessa Della Rosa, and we've had the first interview was Craig R. Smith, and the second interview was Orion Hudson. I apologize tonight that Mr. Derek T. Broughton could not come on the show tonight, but I look forward to maybe having him here on the show to talk about his sheriff candidacy one day in the future. Listeners, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'm your host, Angela Butler. And I also would like to say that Urban Spice Magazine, the owners are Reginald Lewis and Terrell Wicker. Do not forget to cater to them. They're at www.urbanspice.com. They also have a magazine that comes out with a centerfold, and they have modeling fashion shows all over Georgia, or perhaps even Atlanta. I guess I better say Atlanta, Georgia. Don't forget to cater to their magazine and to get in touch with them if you're interested in modeling or advertising with them. All right, listeners, this has been Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'm going to tell everyone to have a good night and see you later on. Good night.